The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Stamps.com. These days, everything's on demand. We microwave minute rice, Instagram, Snapchat, snap it and tweet it and tweet it and do all those things. This podcast, just give it to me now. Download it. I'm going to listen right now. I'm done. I'm going to listen to it again. Well, what about stamps? I have stamps.com because I don't want to wait in line at the grocery store to buy stamps. I don't want to go to the post office to buy stamps. I don't want to go to the post office, period. It's weird. Why is that the place they put pictures of the most wanted murderers on the wall? You're in line so long, you actually go, that's my son's basketball coach. I think. I'm not sure. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Click, print, mail, you're done. Stamps.com. The promo code, my friends, is MOHR. Stamps.com. The promo code is my last name. Stamps.com. Enter more. Fantasy is back. Football, that is. Check this out, man. PFF Fantasy. Pro Football Focus. Like 10 years ago, 15 years ago even, this was the website I would go on to get my like inside information, Pro Football Focus. And they got the data. That's why I go there. You want to join PFF Edge for full access to PFF's player projections. And they are projections, so you got to pick the right place that does it the best. And I'm going to tell you, if I was a gambling man, I'm going with ProFootballFocus.com. ProFootballFocus.com. Let's get a More Stories Fantasy Football League up and running, and I'll whoop your ass. ProFootballFocus.com. Fantasy football done the right way with good data, good info. And I'm telling you, they got a lot of packages.
Oh, boy.
There's premium stats, overview of fantasy features. You know what you want when you do fantasy football. You want information. They will give it to you. This is a great website that I've been on long before I had a podcast. Pro Football Focus. Let's go, Warriors. Let's go. Do it. Warriors, what's up? Thank you, Edward Pospisil. This episode of More Stories brought to you by Patreon, Edward Pospisil. There's no way to say your name without me feeling like I'm committing a heinous act. P-O-S-P-I-S-I-L. Pospisil. Pospisil. He writes on the Patreon page at jmore.com, it's an honor to find people like Jay to support. From laughter to tears, there's something about this exploration of our human condition that he does that can't but help make the listeners' lives better. Edward Pospisil is your executive producer, man. Appreciate that. Keep keeping on, Patreons.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
It just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and 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 over. And over and over and over and over and over again. They just not gonna want that. Run through a motherfucker face. Then you don't have to worry about them no more.
More Stories brought to you by MeUndies. Christopher Walken for MeUndies. Look, your underpants, they should feel good when you wear them. MeUndies, they're good for you. It's crazy. They got to be comfortable, baby. MeUndies, stay put. One thing I like a lot is when there's a sponsor that I actually get to use that's underpants. I love underwear that actually isn't awful to wear. MeUndies are actually great to wear. And I don't know how else to explain it without talking about my personal bits, given on the camera. It's a bit, how's your father? They're great. Look, you guys know I coach wrestling, some fighting, and the right underwear could make or break your entire 2 hours on that mat. MeUndies are the way to go. Everything kind of stays in place. They breathe. You don't get all sweaty. No risk offer. If you're not happy, they're going to refund your cost, and you get to keep MeUndies. And you got some stones, by the way, if you pull that off. If you're listening to me right now, 15% off your first pair, free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/my last name, more, M-O-H-R. MeUndies.com/more. That's MeUndies.com/MOHR. Check out their site. You're going to see all the styles that they have. I'm still waiting for the Speedo, personally. You're going to like them. I guarantee it. I put my name on it. And look, they want you to love it. Otherwise, they go out of business, and they won't. How about this? Take a picture of what you buy for a real deal. MeUndies.com/MOHR. 15% off. Free shipping. And when I say take a picture of what you bought, I do not mean with you in them. That's creepy. I don't want you in your MeUndies. I just want your MeUndies. And email me the photo at morestories3737@gmail.com. Les is with me, and Les is cool. My man, I have to tell you, I said this to you on the phone. Survivor Man is what most people would know you from. It's really rare that I get to speak to somebody who's first. The Beatles, first. Robert Johnson, first. Dr. Naismith, like that's the origin of it. You are the guy that got living in the woods, living off the land, living in the Arctic, onto television in perpetuity. Many imposters, but it's you. You're the guy. And that's, there's no question here. It's just me just acknowledging the fact that the impossibility of all that you do, and it's really fascinating that the way you learn to edit and go out into the bush or whatever, wherever it is, and come back to a network with a fully edited product. You were manna from heaven. What network was that you first went out to?
It was up in Canada. And it started, well, the long story cut short is that it started with a little news. Hey, that's my phone.
That's fine. This is more stories.
Just while I'm doing the interview, decline.
Don't worry about it, by the way.
That's how popular I am.
That's how popular they were.
We're going to have to take calls all the way through this interview.
You could. No.
10 or 15.
That's this podcast. Like I used to do it in my garage, and people would come by and say hi.
I was put the phone. I got to charge my phone. So I plugged it in there. I turned off my light. And I thought, okay, everything's set and ready to go. Okay, go, Jay. And then, boom.
So you can live off the land. So you can live off the land. It's technology.
Yes,
that
technology.
You pull a hamstring, getting the phone out of the bag.
Well, it's actually technology that saved me, because the way things were back then, if a simple little twist of fate with technology hadn't have happened, Survivor Man never would have happened. It was a little news show in Canada, a science news show, you know, and on TV. And I pitched it to them. They were on. It was Discovery Channel Canada. And I pitched them the idea, and but what I'm alluding to as far as the technology goes, when I first started that, I actually used, and you'll recognize this from just, you know, the work in film and that, I used a shoulder mount. And for those who don't know, a shoulder mount camera is a big, heavy beast that you put on your shoulder. Used to see it all the time at the sides of sports events with a guy with a big camera up on his shoulder.
That's it, like, you know, Channel 9.
Like a Bolex when you have to wind it. No.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then all of a sudden, the Sony VX1000 was invented. And it's this tiny little camera. And what changed with that was the fact that the network would allow me to use that camera for a large percentage of the content. But that camera was tiny and small, and I could carry it around. And from then, and then I never looked back. So, yeah. I mean, what you're talking about goes back to 1999, 2000, 2001. 2001 was when I first started into Survivor Man.
It's interesting, because it's, to me, you know, people can either cook or bake normally. Because cooking, there's a bit of personality, and baking is exact, or it doesn't happen. So for you to be able to get fire started, to be able to vibe out which way the tides are going, which water's okay to drink, and then also be able to work technology seems really incongruous of two things that mesh together in a person.
Yeah, but everything...
I'm sitting like this because of the light for the periscope, by the way.
No, it's okay. I can't see your face, so it's really freaking me out, but it's okay. It's good. You're trying to intimidate me, aren't you?
No. I have to remove my face. This is my costume face. I think it might rain.
All I can see is the reflection off the white round roof behind you way outside the windows there.
That's so weird.
I can't see you.
I don't know. I don't know what that building is.
And then I just watched your son holding up a handful of $1 bills.
And those are $2 bills, by the way.
Going through your wallet right now.
No, that's his wallet. He's a wallet. Okay, good. Those are $2 bills, and that was his horse piss you just heard. Bang, in the toilet. The guy's strong like bull. I feel like an old man. That's an odd thing to mesh into one person, like technology and, oh, look at the leaves. It's going to rain within an hour.
Well, I think what you have to consider in the whole big picture is what's the motivation. And my motivation was pretty simple. It was to teach wilderness skills and to get people back out in the bush. I just wanted to get people outside again. And, the wilderness skills facilitated that.
Let's go beat by beat. To what gain to Les Stroud getting people out in the bush? Because they could really ruin it. They could mar it. But you get to educate them, I guess. To what gain for you is it to get people out into the bush or into the snow or into the jungle?
If I wanted to wax philosophic, I don't know, something small-minded, like to save the planet. My point has always been that I feel that people are really disconnected to nature, to the natural world. And it doesn't take much. The end comment I always give is, look, you can just go down the street to the park. You don't have to go to Peru. You don't have to be Survivor Man. But I had learned all these skills, and I'd been an outdoor guide, and I traveled all around in nature. But I was, when you talk about the combination of the skill sets, my life has always been on parallel tracks. One track was entertainment, music, creation. The other track was nature. So really, I'm not a techie guy. So my struggle with camera gear out in the field was very real. I had to rely on a lot of my buddies. Hey, Max, what camera should I get this time? So I'm not a techie guy. My specialty was the content, the story.
Well, you are a techie guy, just so you know. Like, I caught a baby leopard shark about midnight last night, and me getting a tiny flashlight in my camera and this thing still, but not getting it dirty. There was a couple, about my parts. Like, oh, God. It's like this tiny, 12-inch little baby. This thing was alive maybe 3 days. And it was my second one in 2 days. I'm like, apparently they like me. So you are, I can't work my camera. So the fact that you can take one out into the bush when you're having almost hypothermia or into the, the Andes? Were you almost like froze to death? And I read it in a Rolling Stone interview. I'm like,
a couple of times.
I didn't know it when I was watching that episode. Like, my man, there was some peril. Like,
Norway. I think you're thinking of the Norway episode.
Yeah.
I got hypothermia in Norway, which can kill you.
That's what
but
it does.
But I still disagree with you. I'm so not techie. I fumble and frustrate my editors, and I bring back content that is marred with bad sound dropouts and all sorts of stuff. But for me, the reality was it's all about the content.
Have you ever had to do audio over your own content? Like a kung fu movie? Like, it's such great visual content, but there's no audio, so you got to go in and go, oh, God, look what I got here.
No.
I just caught a bear.
No, because I wouldn't do that.
But that'd be so funny. Yeah. You just do it like an
old... There's Bigfoot in the background.
An old kung fu movie.
Like. No, but what I have done is drank too much wine and watched myself in Spanish. That was cool.
How do you watch yourself in Spanish?
Well, the episodes down in South America.
Oh, you speaking Spanish?
Yeah. Well, they dub my voice into Spanish.
I guess.
Or Cantonese or something. I just watch those episodes. It just cracks me up.
It's always fascinating. Like, that's what you guys think I would sound like as a Peruvian?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hola.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
on screen, I know it's like, all right, it's day four. It looks like I'm going to need to get a fire going. I don't speak Spanish, but that's what it sounds like to me. And it's hilarious.
Car.
Yeah. Pepsi Cola.
go. You're like, if I don't drink clean water, I'll die. And if I drink that water, I'll die. And they're like, wee-oy.
Yeah.
That's nutty. I might.
Fire!
Hold on 1 second.
This interview's gone off track already, and we haven't even got started.
This is how it always goes.
And
that's
we're drinking water, too.
That's a beautiful thing.
Straight to our head. The bottled water's going straight to my
head.
We're
drunk on water. No, yeah. That's more stories. Like, that's why I think my podcast is the best, because it's... I don't want to sit here and interview you. Like, you're a cool dude. Like, let's just break it up.
Let's riff.
What do they call it? Break bread, chop it up. I learned a lot from Survivor Man. I think what I learned the most is don't drink that water is probably what I, unless you boil it. And then there's other shows that can't hold your jock. But like Naked and Afraid is a show where somebody usually winds up going insane and drinking like a pond of water and they get all sick.
Mm-hmm.
But you're allowed to bring one thing when you do that show, and they'll bring like a tarp or a knife. And I'm always like, how come they don't bring pants? Yeah. Drop naked into the middle of like the Delta, Mississippi Delta, or, Tasmania or whatever.
I'm sure there's some rules on the 48-page waiver they signed.
Oh, you ain't lying. Like, or a lighter.
Yeah.
If you want to make fire, just bring your damn lighter and some gasoline.
Yeah.
How about I burn this jungle to the ground? But that would be going against conservation, which is what you want to do. How about conserving your teeth? I hate segues. Like my stand-up's like so buckshot and scattered.
Yeah.
And I have to tell the audience, like, I don't do segues. I'm not the local news. Brian Regan's got that bit. Speaking of Lotto, there was a Lotto crime in the city last night. No segues. We have a new sponsor, Quip. It's an electric toothbrush. And I never really, when I was a kid, I lived in a home where maybe people were absent a lot. And I was alone a lot. So people never really taught me to brush my teeth, comb my hair. And you could tell when people started showing up right around sixth grade because my class photos, my teeth were clean, my fever blisters were gone, and my hair was combed and cut. It was interesting. But I need a Quip, electric toothbrush because I have to take super good care of my teeth because if you don't take care of your teeth, they go away. Oprah likes Quip. This is one of Time Magazine's best inventions. First subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Who gives a shit? I'll tell you what you should give a shit about. I think this is an amazing electric toothbrush, and I want you to buy it, because if you buy it, they keep sponsoring the podcast. GetQuip.com. $25. If you go to GetQuip.com/mylastnamemore, go right now. You'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Free refill pack. GetQuip.com/more. That's GetQuip.com/MOHR. Encore. GetQuip.com/more. Je m'appelle J. Get Quip. Tu besoin cette maintenant. D'accord. My man, Les Stroud, survivor man and musician and conservationist. You said something interesting. You can go to the park. You don't have to go to Peru. When people go to the park, like I do feel like a sense of responsibility to teach my sons when we come back from the beach, just anything on your way to the car that's trash, you must pick it up and put it in the garbage. Like that's how everybody could actually save the planet. Like thinking that locally or acting that locally. Is there something you've seen as your... Could everybody turn their fucking phones off? Jesus Christ, it's like a fucking droid convention.
That's your phone, Jay.
No, it ain't. It was?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, let me tell you something. Watch this.
Go fuck yourself.
Hey. I just threw my phone in the other room like a boss. That'll teach me when
I
can't
really
use it.
If you really had some cojones, you'd throw it right out the window, over that balcony, down onto...
Happiest day of my life.
Yeah, smash. That
fell in the ocean. I had it around my neck in a waterproof iPad case. And there's a damn dolphin feeding frenzy and fuck party. Like, they're just... My paddle... I'm in a busy bathtub only because of the wake of thousands of dolphins that are going insane. And there's three different species of dolphins, which is rare. And I get home, and there's water in my phone, and it was no good. And it was the happiest 2 weeks of my life.
Nice.
It's like quitting smoking, not having an iPhone. Like, oh, my. Not. We're shaking her head. The worst 2 weeks of my life because I didn't know if you were alive. Oh, I was alive. That was my survivor, man. Not having an iPhone. Going to the store without my phone to check Twitter at a red light. I'm like, I'm living off the land here.
I'm still tempted just to go Luddite and get just, yeah. I'm
an old tempted. Flip phone?
No, nothing. Just like pull off. It was the guy who's, what's it? Peace, Love, and Happiness charity. He's a Paul Mitchell shampoo guy, whatever. You got to phone him. You have to phone him with a real phone.
The Paul Mitchell shampoo guy, I believe, is Paul Mitchell.
Right, him. No, the other guy. The salesman guy who's connected to him.
I don't know, but Paul Mitchell.
Mitchell was like the creator of, but it was his partner. Long haired, hippie, really super rich.
That's like a mafia boss, man.
I know. Anyways,
you gotta go talk to him in person.
Yeah. Hey,
Paulie didn't say much, but Paulie didn't have to talk at all. What's the thing you see most from both poles, through the rainforest, through wherever you've been in Norway, or that you have seen firsthand is the of great import and concern to you as far as the globe, like what happens?
Subway
Earth?
Restaurants.
Yeah, it always
you start
know
there.
I agree with you. I don't like Subway.
I did a challenge. I said, you know, the restaurant I see, and KFC, no, McDonald's, no, Taco Bell, no, Subway. I've seen Subway in Mongolia, everywhere. Everywhere I go, if I'm going to see a fast food chain, it's going to be Subway. To answer your second part of your question, plastic. plastic. And I see it on every beach, every shore.
We're not going to stop making plastic.
No, but we don't have to do the single use thing. There's like I'm not against plastic or technology. Plastic makes my life. I mean, I use camera gear. It's all made out of plastic. But But there's ways, you know, there's processes, and we're not doing it. We're not, you know, looking after what we're making with them.
So you said single use
plastic versus
reusing your like shopping bags over and over and over and over.
No, versus right? recycling, all that sort of, you know, But again, you need the system in place, right? So I can recycle this bottle in my hand right now as long as there's a recycling system in place.
There is.
And I'm down with that. But in a lot of places, there aren't. There is here, but there's not everywhere else.
So when you're, what's the most remote place you saw plastic in it? Because on Vice, I saw them try to find that mountain of plastic that they thought was near like the Marianas Trench. And it wasn't a mountain or an island of plastic. It was more frightening. It was... You couldn't scoop water without those tiny micro beads of plastic being in the water.
Yeah.
And it was 2 weeks out via boat. Yeah. So where's the most remote place you've actually seen it?
Every remote beach I've ever been on, from northern Arctic to Indonesia to Madagascar, every place that you would think. And see, it's only remote to us because we live on this side, but to them, we're remote, right? So, but everywhere. There's not a place I haven't seen it, is the short answer.
And it just keeps breaking down into smaller little balls.
It's slurry, yeah. I don't
slurry,
know.
Is that what it's called?
Well, you get a little slurry of plastic in the water, yeah.
It's a good name for a band.
A slurry, yeah.
What are you, the campfire? Your band's called
what? Oh, no. Well, that's just kind of jokingly call whoever plays with me the Campfire Kings.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. It works.
I almost said Bandits. I think that's a gay bar, the Campfire Bandits.
Yeah.
Which your band actually is playing. Let's see, November... No. My stand-up dates are at jmoore.com. Check those out. This episode of More Stories brought to you by our friends at Hyundai. Yeah, I'm really impressed by Hyundai. Me, personally, JJ, your guy. Because when you buy a car, they take what used to be difficult and they make it really easy. Transparent pricing. You know the price is always better than guessing the price. You guess the price, you show up, you're confused, you're surprised. Hyundai, you know what the price is going in. And it ain't a lot. These are great cars. And you can afford them. Flexible test drive. Test drive at your preferred time and location. That's amazing. Streamline purchase. Take the paperwork out of completing the paperwork because you get to file it online. Also amazing. And this blew my mind. 3-day worry-free exchange. You're going to have a nice peace of mind when you have a 3-day vehicle exchange program. You get to test drive a Hyundai for 3 days. What else do you want? That's the best thing on earth, right? 3 days you get to drive around, not one.
I think it's okay.
No, you keep driving at Hyundai. You'll see. Hyundai, car buying made easier. It's possible with Hyundai Shopper Assurance. Direct listeners like you, that's my job, to go to HyundaiUSA.com/Shopper Assurance. Hyundai is spelled HyundaiUSA.
Okay. I want to ask you specifically about eating animals for sustenance or you die. What is, I have to preface that because I don't want the PETA people to be like, you guys are awful barbarians. No, we want to just stay alive. What has been the most difficult animal to track, catch, and post rigor mortis to actually get into your body?
Ooh.
Because some animals, you're like, this is a little too much effort. I'm burning calories out here.
Wild pigs. Wild pigs in Indonesia. We're not talking about like wild pigs in Texas where you take out an AK-47 and take them all down. No, we're talking about wild pigs with using deadfalls, snares, traps, you know, and then it's disgusting anyway. Once you, you know, it's and I'm not, and like in Indonesia maybe, Siberut. Ooh. Ugh, it was, and I had to carry one on my back in a, like a, in like a bamboo-ish kind of weaved pack thing. And it was crawling with fleas and ticks and.
Oh yeah, I don't. You never think about that. Like, okay, I caught an animal. Now I got to carry it back to my base camp, and it's covered in parasites that are now my parasites.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what might have been worse? That was the porcupine in the Kalahari Desert. The porcupine was even more.
I'm leapfrogging. I'm making an executive decision. And that's on my leaderboard, porcupine, because you got to take the damn quills out to eat it.
Well, no, they throw it on the fire, and they – so what they do is they – oh, wait a minute. No, hang on. Okay, so this is leading me down another road. But anyway, you have to burn the porcupine quills off. So now you've got this burnt, charred, disease-ridden, tick-crawling porcupine in the Kalahari Desert that you've got to then cut into and eat. But worse than that, in the Amazon jungle, and I went out, and it was monkey hunting with the Warani people, and they would – capture a, they would get a monkey. This is their staple. This is all they're eating that day. And they would get it with a blow dart.
Wow.
And they would bring it home and they would put it on the fire to burn all the hair off and all the ticks and the fleas. And now I swear to God, oh, your audience is going to hate me with this. I swear to God, you're looking at a burnt baby lying there. And they're like,
no.
And I'm the honored guy. So I get like the biggest leg and I'm like, oh. And it's like,
oh, you're the guest. Yeah.
I'm the guest.
As soon as you said burning hair, I went, oh, no.
It's disgusting.
That's like human. It is. We're related.
Yeah. It's it was disgusting. But you're there with the you know, remote bush tribe, and you're being living honorably and doing as they do. And that's what they do.
What's I don't know the name of your album that you're actually promoting.
Bittern Lake. B-I-T-T-E-R-N.
Oh, I did know it. Okay.
Bittern Lake, yeah.
Yeah. Like bitter with an N at the end and two T's. Well, no, that's bitter, period.
That'd be bittern.
Bittern Lake.
Bittern.
Yeah,
like lake. The bird. You know the bittern?
No, obviously.
Would you?
I think the proof is right now.
Lake.
I don't.
Do you know Lake, Jay?
What is this? Ricky? Like big... Ricky Lake?
Greg of ELP.
Nice.
Oh, there we go. A nostalgia reference.
One of the best bass.
Rock
who
reference.
Plays bass in ELP?
Greg. Well, Greg Emerson. Keith Emerson, Greg Lake, and Carl
yeah.
Palmer.
Yes, and... ELP, I always listen to, and I'm like, these two bassists are maybe the most underrated dudes in music ever.
Well, and a good Canadian boy, Geddy Lee, got to play with Yes when they were inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think it was last year or 2 years ago.
How can you tell a great bassist? It's hard. Because if you're doing your job really well, nobody hears you really at all because you're the backbone of the whole operation.
Oh, well, it depends. It's good to have a bass player with some personality, too. Then it's like, he's got something.
Who are your favorite bass players?
Ooh. Well, Geddy Lee of Rush. I have to. I'm Canadian.
I love trios, so I'm with you with Geddy Lee. Yeah. And I think he's pretty underrated.
And you're right about Greg Lake and the guy from Yes.
Wow.
What was the guy from Yes?
Good old what's
Chris Squire.
Chris Carr.
Squire.
Squire? What did I say? Carr? Yeah. Chris Carr was in Kiss when they tried to replace everybody. Or no, excuse me. When Colonel Parker, Gene Simmons tried to replace everybody. Chris Carr, I think, was the first guy in. Or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, I love trios.
Power trios. It's a kind of a thing.
James Gang.
In the past. James Gang? Who else is a
Nirvana,
power trio?
Obviously.
You know who was a power trio at first, or who loves power trios?
Mo, Larry, and Curly?
Elton John.
Well, hold on. Say that again.
When Elton John first toured the States, it was him, bass player Dee Murray, and Nigel Olsen on drums. They were a trio. That's it. 11-17-70, that album. Unbelievable. Power.
I am so happy you're here, because now we're in more stories.
Okay.
Like, I got Survivor Man here, and we're talking about burnt hair on monkeys. That's well, it looks like a dead baby, and the tribesmen are getting...
Segue to Elton
and
John.
I'm like, Elton John was a power trio, and people sleep on that guy's catalog. It's bananas. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like, no, like that, I'm so happy right now with that information. That guy used to tour in a Daffy Duck suit at piano. Dodger Stadium. He came out wearing a Daffy Duck suit, and people argued whether or not he was gay. Liberace, people thought was straight.
Amazing.
He came out in like a rhinestone coat and was like,
"Hi." He was always called the Liberace of rock and roll. That was his first nickname.
I love. Why, I don't have a lap. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yes, I have noticed.
I have very round, giant, enormous wrestling legs, I guess, because nothing stays in.
Well,
my
I'm glad
lap.
You said legs.
yes. No, the other one. I'll let you know next time I see it. Christopher Walken, I got to talk to you about True Car. Yeah, I like my cars. I like them. Not to lie to me. Be true. Truthful. Tell me the truth, car. Do it. Vehicle. Don't lie to me. I see you coming. Yeah. TrueCar.com. True Car. Let me tell you something. I just found out if you remove excess weight from your car, you improve gas mileage. So I told my wife to get out of the car. Couldn't leave that one there. True Car will help you get a car or a used car. True Car isn't just for buying new ones. Certified dealer network, nationwide inventory, 1 million used cars almost. And True Car users like myself save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. I've been telling you guys I need a new car. Well, guess what? I haven't had my car in 2 weeks because mice have chewed through all the hoses in my car. So I'm about to save $3,000 off MSRP when I hit up True Car. Put my name on it, and I'm grateful for all of these folks. Come on now! On this album, Bittern Lake, I heard your cover, Joni Mitchell, Big Yellow Taxi, and I really cringed on my way in, not judging you, but it's Joni Mitchell, and it's Like, it's kind of hard to do it better. So you did what a genius would do, is you did it entirely differently your way. You slowed it way down. And I was just, I just kept listening to it. And I was going to listen back to hers again. I'm like, well, I kind of have to. And I did. But then I just kept gravitating back towards your cover. And I know you don't want to be known for a cover because you write your own stuff. But that's, that was damn impressive, man. That really impressed me.
It's not like I approached it without some trepidation. I definitely did. Longest time. I mean, I was putting together a package of songs that all celebrated nature or, you know, were calls to action about protecting nature. And that, and Joni's song always comes up as the number one environmental song of all time. I thought, okay, all right, you know, lyrically it's just spot on. But how can I make it mine? And how can I, how can I go darker? You know, it's very jangly and beautiful the way she did it. And one day I sat down and I was just messing with it, but I had a slide on my finger and I just started playing it slide, and I, whoa, there it is. And I was just like, if I go Delta blues, do I, and I was like, paper, I've got it. There it is. And so that was it. And that's why I went that way. It was nice and dark. The music, rather than juxtaposing happy music and dark lyrics, or dark music and happy lyrics, which I love that process, I thought, let's just go dark music, dark lyrics.
How long did it take you? What I love is the patience to figure out what will happen for you in order to do it the way you want it. So how long between I want to cover this song and that Delta blues slide of, oh my God, I have it?
Oh, that was, I'll give it a couple of months.
Wow.
You know, getting ready, working on other tunes, thinking this through, talking to the producer, and trying to figure out where we're going to go. And I remember Mike Klink's a producer, and he's known for...
He's a great producer.
Yeah, he's got a few songs under his belt.
Yeah.
Responsible for the sound of Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Is, so they'll be all right. They'll make out.
Yeah, yeah, they got a future, I think. Mike just kept saying, "How are you going to do it?" And I'm like, "I don't know yet, Mike. I don't know yet, Mike." And then one day I was just sitting at home, and that came up on the guitar, and there I was. I was like, "I think that's it."
Speaks volumes to Mike's patience and trust in you as an artist, and actually seeing you, the value in you, and seeing you as an artist to just have that patience.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, okay, great, Taylor Swift, I'm sure, like, we'll be here when you figure it all out.
Yeah.
Like, he saw you as what you are. Like, you are an artist. I mean, it's, I'm not one of these guys, like, I'm trying to weave, like, okay, out in nature, you're an artist, but no, you're more of just, like, an observer, and you realize you're powerless out there, and you're just, you just got to do it as the universe unfolds, and that's what you allow to happen with that song, and that's impressive. And that, it's one of my favorite covers, and I have a ongoing list of, like, best covers. People don't realize, like, how, like, Al Green, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart is a Bee Gees song. And if you ever go on YouTube and watch the Bee Gees do it on Australian TV, it's like you're watching the Muppet Show, because their bangs are very bangs. And it's, when I think of younger days, they got those weird Muppet voices. And you're like, how was this ever a song not by Al Green? Like, Jane's...
Well, because it's a good song. It's a good song.
How can you stop the rain from falling down?
But the thing is, if anyone's going to do a cover, and Mike's the first one to say this all the time, is if you're going to do a cover, you got to make it your own. Now, the Counting Crows, God bless them, they had a big hit with Joni, the cover of the same song. But they just, you know, they basically were the Counting Crows doing the song the same way Joni did it. Which, no offense to them, but it's like a bar band at that point.
Jacob Dylan doing Heroes still bothers me.
I don't think I've even heard that cover.
You couldn't have avoided it. It was like on the radio constantly. And I must have. You guys realize David Bowie does Heroes like this, but it's David Bowie, actually, not Bob Dylan's gorgeous kid with thick Andy Pettit lips.
That singing at the end of Heroes by Bowie, I remember that he's out of it.
He's
losing his voice. They've got one track left. He shared the track with another instrument. It's like, this is it. Because this is not the days of digital recording. And it's not like they went in and auto-tuned. That's it. That's him out of breath, out of emotion, belching it out. It's just phenomenal. That's emotion that you can't even get these days.
I am riddled in goosebumps. I was able to write a eulogy.
I can actually see them from the sunlight. You're right. You are. Your hair's
my
up on
goosebumps
end.
Are so big. I'm silhouetted because I'm on the other side of the sun from you, and you could see them. I was able to write a eulogy for Bowie for Huffington Post, and I just kind of zeroed in on that wailing.
Yeah.
Because the song becomes a love song to, like, hey, you know, hey, mama, you know. And then at the end, it's like, please.
Yeah.
Like this plea.
Desperate.
Yeah. And, like, I get choked up because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was it? Was it Reggie Watts? And I, it was Tom Rhodes and I were ranking gods.
Yeah.
And it was,
I believe Buddha was number one because he's always laugh, and Bowie was two. We had Christ three. I'm pretty sure that was the order, but he said Bowie.
Christ.
He said Bowie, and that's a good name for a band too. He said Bowie for number two, and I just went, you magnificent bastard. Bittern Lake will be on jmoore.com, and you will go purchase it because guys like this need to be rewarded for having the balls to go out and live their life without care of review, inspection, because it's from the heart. And that's what I dig about you. You work for and from your heart. And that's my message to you guys listening. You may be at a job right now, but that's okay. Realize you're at a job. That's not your career. Because your career is when you work for and from your heart. And when you go out and do what you do on Survivor, man, you love it so much. And that's what I tell like wrestlers, like, you have to love this more than you've ever loved anything in your life. Mm-hmm. It's a miserable, like, you got frostbite and stuff, and you've gotten sick, and dengue fever, and mosquitoes have tried to fuck you, and there's a whole thing of terror.
Not tried.
You tried. But, like, you have to love it so much.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a moment on Survivor Man on film where you had to consciously say, I can't say that because there was a time, there was a piece of your brain going, "This, I'm done. This is terrible. I'm over this."
So, you're of two worlds and two minds there. Because
binary. There's a lot more than that. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, the reality is that on the third and fourth day of every single Survivor Man I ever filmed, I quit. Every time I'm like, what the hell
show's
am
been
I
on
doing
like
this?
15 years.
18 years.
18 every years. Episode.
Every single time. Day three, day four, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing out here? I could be at home having a beer. God, all those other guys are just cheating my version of this, and they're getting way more money than me. And I'm still doing it for real. It was hard. But then, you know, and this is the altruistic side of it and maybe the cliche side of it. But then I would always, I absolutely would always think, I met your son today, right? And mm-hmm. So I would always think, there's some young guy at home or a girl watching this right now, hanging off every word I'm saying. You better own it. You better bring it to the table. You better finish this week out and do it what you need to do, because sooner or later it's going to be edited. It's going to be put on a TV channel. It's going to be shown around the world. And some 12-year-old kid's going to be sitting there watching me. And if I phoned it in, shame on me. So I just, you know, for a day, I would always want to leave. I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I out here? I'm cold. I'm sleeping on a rock. I'm hungry. My friends are all somewhere, you know, having a great steak for dinner. I'm out here. But I would remind myself of that. And then I would rally. And sure, always something good would happen next. Like I'd catch a rabbit or something like that would happen. And I would know right then I just shot an amazing scene. Holy crap, I just did the most amazing fire with two hands I've ever done. Oh, and then I'm good. The next 3-4 days, it's like, all right, let's do this.
Les, that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, like Joe DiMaggio at the end of his career dove for a ball. The Yankees were up like 12-0. It was the ninth inning, and he like stretched out. It was old-ass Joe. Not, he was never old-ass Joe DiMaggio. But and when he came back, the reporters after the game were saying, it's 12-0. Like, you could have gotten hurt. Why did you dive like that? And his answer was, because there might be a kid in the stands that never saw Joe DiMaggio play baseball before.
Yeah. You have to remember that.
Oof.
We get to the point where we can phone it in, right? And the minute we do that, we're sunk. You know, I just don't ever want to phone it in.
Like, you really, like, inspired me in the moment. Like, that's, you know, there's an old expression, you chase two rabbits, you lose them both. So it's like I've just recently gone, what's the rabbit? What's the rabbit? Yeah. And I've just been like, there's nights I don't go to, Corey will tell you, like, there's nights I don't go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of got a little like, all right, let's just slow down. And now it's like, you fired me up. Yeah. Like, no, I ain't slowing down. I'm going to do it.
You know, like, we were talking about Bowie earlier, and one of his quotes is one of my more favorite recent quotes, and that is, he goes, you know, when you go into the water and you're walking towards the deep end, and you get to that point, just that moment where your toes start to kind of bounce off the bottom, that's where I like to stay. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I totally get what he means by that. I can't articulate it, I can't explain it, but I can feel what he meant, and that's kind of for me too, you know.
Bro, that's a wrap. Like, that's, there's nothing I could possibly say after that, except
how do we follow Bowie, right?
No, it's you, and your presence is overwhelming, and I love it. I see you, man. I dig it. Like, you're present, and I guess fighting for your life will do that for a fellow. Like, you are, if nothing else, you're very present And I'm glad I met you.
No, thank you.
And I'm
nice to be here.
Tell these people, these Moriors, as they've named themselves, Bittern Lake. You guys are going to like it. I put my name on it. It's like really, really cool. Hey, Les Stroud, Survivor Man. He's the guy. There's nobody before him. He's Robert Johnson. I had another example of like the actual first person where you go, oh, I guess Stephen Wright. Like there's you can't imitate Stephen Wright.
Otherwise, no. People well, go, that's why? What you do. You imitate him because.
Why are you doing Stephen Wright? But in your business.
I still do that. I've done that. I've walked up to the microphone and said, you know, the first thing I ever wanted to say when I was, quote, that way, when I die, I could say, end quote. That's just the best. It's like, how did you think? Oh, that's awesome.
I just did his bit, Planetarium, on Comedy Science.
Oh, he's the best.
We had a
song. And I look for that. I look for intelligent comedy. Stephen Wright, Dimitri Martin.
Brilliant.
Mitch Hedberg. You know, the type of thinking that you're going, whoa, I can't even think like that, but that's brilliant.
Yeah, Dimitri Martin, I think he tried to set the world record for a palindrome.
Yeah, If I, with his, he did that If I concert. Oh, yeah.
And he just wrote, like, I don't know if he got it or not, but David Bowie, Heroes. You guys, this has been rewarding.
We got some connecting points, clearly.
It all does track. I make sure it's linear. Just I always say on stage, watch me do stand-ups, like having a bird in your house. You go, oh, wow, look up there. That's so cool. Why won't he just go through the open window? He keeps smashing into the refrigerator door in the wall.
The window's open, dude.
But then when that bird goes, you go, oh, wow, he left. Great show. Elton John was in a power trio with a bassist and a drummer. Elton John, I guess, was on piano.
Good guess.
And Porcupine is the worst thing ahead
most
of
disgusting.
Most disgusting, most difficult to eat, catch, eat process. He ahead of wild pig, which are probably incredibly aggressive, but the monkey hair on fire. I'm gonna say just go ooh at the buzzer with the 3-pointer, burning monkey hair.
I could make this worse with a story I've never told before.
That's what, as Norm MacDonald would say, I think the worst is that burning monkey hair smell, you know? It's like, I don't know, I'm not that hungry anymore. I'll go to Subway something. I want to hear a story.
There's going to be one.
This is the
I've never heard before?
Yeah, I don't like Subways because they all smell like bar mats to me. Like when you work at a bar, that bar mat smell. I don't know what it is about a Subway. They all smell like bar mats to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Unless they sponsor the podcast, then I'll sing their praises.
Then they're awesome.
But they don't. And instead, it's cool people like Quip because my teeth are clean. So we'll wrap this up because you got a lot of appointments today. Go buy Bittern Lake by my man Les Stroud. Reward this man because he's rewarded us and our kids. And their kids. So let me hear this story, and then we'll head off into this fair day.
The addendum to the burnt monkey story is that after I was fed this honorable feast, along with the drink of what I call old lady spit drink, because they mash potatoes up in their mouth and they spit it back in the bowl. But that's another story. That's just the drink. I was given the leg of monkey, and it just looks like a little human leg, and when they weren't,
leg.
When I couldn't do it. When they weren't looking, I tossed it behind me down because we're on a little bit of a wooden deck up above the jungle floor down, and there's this little leg down there, and then the dogs came in and took it, and I see this little mangy dog running away with a burnt human type leg in his mouth. That's how I honored their meal.
Do you have to distract them so they don't see the dog and know that you're kind of like, hey, look at my left hand up in the sky over here.
Kind of like that. I did do one of those, you know, like, I'm miming this for radio, but for podcast. But it's like, you know, the little like,
you know, I
boy, that was delicious. No, no more. Thanks. Full. I'm full. It's like Jeremiah Johnson. No, thank you. Full.
I think I see God over your shoulder here. Wow.
The Thanks, forest. Jay.
My man, Les Stroud. Go buy Bittern Lake. I put my name on it. You made my day better. You made my life better. I'm a better guy for knowing you, man.
Thank you, sir. Likewise.
Thank you,
Likewise.
Brother. More stories. Put your name on.
They paved paradise with a parking lot. Put up big hotels, boutiques, and swinging hot spots. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Paved paradise with a parking lot. Hey, farmer, put away your DDT now.
Leave the spots on my apples. Forgive me the birds and the bees.